Well, good morning, everyone. God bless. Before I get into sharing the word this morning, I just want to say, and I'm speaking for all of us here, we are so blessed and so thankful for those of you that that call in on these Sunday mornings. I'm so humbled that you would do that, that you would take time out of your day to be a part of our fellowship. We love you, and we are so thankful for you. The only thing that would be better would be if you moved here, but yeah. But I know for whatever reasons you don't and can't. But what a blessing it is that you care enough about God and His Word, and I truly believe that's why you call in and you join us, because we are blessed in this fellowship with a number of terrific teachers. I mean, I think everybody in this fellowship must be a teacher. It must be a teacher's fellowship or something, because when we, you know, we take turns teaching up here, and I am just amazed at how wonderful and how terrific the teachings are that the various ones teach at times. And I think part of that too is, you know, what we do with summer school and allow our people here, our wonderful believers have developed their skill and their understanding in certain topics that we offer during summer school. And then there are others that come in and teach. And we're just so blessed that that those of you that dial in, and then those are you that are here. I say dial in, that gives you my, you know, in the Word Over the World auditorium, I used to read off who had dialed in. But anyway, just so great to know that you're there. And when we prepare our teachings, we think in terms not just of those of us in this room, but you and your families, and you certainly are loved ones to us. So anyway, with that said, and I've been reviewing this book. It's called Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. And I am in awe of the detail that's in here about, you know, the different constellations and about the different conjunctions of stars and the things that happened and when they happened and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that we can know these things is amazing. That we can know these things is very awesome and very wonderful. So many people don't know these things, and what a joy and privilege it is for us to have this kind of a thing available to us. And like the other books that we have and we refer to and work on, and just we're so blessed by what Dr. Wirwell did, Reverend Cummins, Reverend Gear, so many other people down through the years. And in here there's a whole list of people that help with this book, and how terrific it is to be a part of that and to have that available. And as I understand it, you can call into the Way International Bookstore and order these books. They don't mind. You know, if you're looking for a Christmas gift or whatever, you know, these are really great things to give people, you know, that will bless them immediately and then ultimately, because it's the truth of God's Word. There were so many years I did not think I'd ever know what the truth was. You know, what is the truth? You know, what is truth? Well, God's Word is truth. And what a thrill and privilege it is for us to know that and understand that, and then to be able to go into the Word and find those great truths that the Word declares. All right, Genesis chapter 1. Let's start there and finish in the book of Revelation. actually, that's what we're going to do, but we're not going to do all the way through into there. We take a little bit more time than we've got right now. Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, when was it? I don't know. God only knows. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, and the word was, we know, is the word in the Hebrew, hayah, it became without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what?
Light.
You know, this is God's word. When God said, let there be light, that was his word. When he said, let there be light, there wasn't anything else. There was what? Light. Light. And all of God's word is like that. You can depend on God's word like you can depend on the sun rising in the morning, you know, and setting at night, and the birds flying south, and, you know, all the other things that God set in motion that we observe, and we just, sun came up, the moon got full, and now it's not full. Yeah, God set all that stuff up, and his word is just as faithful as those things in our lives. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament, an expanse, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The waters below the expanse and the waters above the expanse. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So there's water out there beyond the expanse. How big is the expanse? I don't know. But all the stars are in the expanse. So there's something beyond the stars. And it's wet. it's got water. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, earth. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. God said it, it happened. You know, everything we have is because of God's word. Think about that. We're going to, you know, I mean, if we took the time, we'd read about the plants and the animals, and you know, all of that is because of God's word. God said it, that settled it, it was done. You know, and it was good, good, very good. Remember? Wow, isn't that something? And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
And then he talks about these other things, and let's go to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, in that expanse. Let there be lights in that expanse to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Signs to mark out that which is significant. A sign marks out that which is significant. Be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Daytime, nighttime. You know, 365 and a quarter of those, you got a year. You know, just a terrific thing. You've got summer, winter, fall. You know, all those things that happened. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And what do you know? It was so. It was so. Man, oh man. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So the sun, the moon, the stars. And God said, let there, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
It was good, good, very good, as we continue to see. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God set the stars in their courses, and the planets, and the moons. You know, sometimes we can see, I guess with a telescope, we can see the moons that go around the different planets. What, do you ever wonder, why is that moon so battered? I mean, it's got all these craters in it. You know why? The moon goes around, and here comes something that's going to hit the Earth. And the moon goes around, and it has a magnetic field, and it intercepts this thing that would have hit the Earth, and there's another crater. Oh, my gosh, there's another crater on the face of the moon. You know, isn't that something? And it's the same with, like with the outer planets. Why are the outer planets? Those outer planets collect things that come in from outer space, you know, from the expanse, you know, or whatever. You know, they are like a buffer also to protect the Earth. Now, I'm not sure about the inner planets, but I know about these outer planets, you know, so like Mercury and Venus. But how about that? Isn't that something? It is, God set all this stuff up so that Earth, the only, that is just the right distance from the sun, so it doesn't melt or freeze. You know, Earth goes around, and I read this somewhere. It's been so long since I've referred back to this, but every year there's a certain point in the orbit of Earth around the sun where it's just about to keep going and not stay in orbit. But God set some star or something out there that has gravitational pull that causes the Earth just to, you know, jiggle a little bit, and it goes back into the orbit to go around again for another year. And that's been scientifically proved, according to this thing I read a number of years ago. I forget who it was that had that. Maybe some of you remember, but back in our reading of various things. Isn't that something? How God has protected us. He's protected the planet. You know, he's made it possible for us to have plant life, vegetable life, you know, things to eat. You know, he made it possible for us to go lay out on the beach and get a suntan. You know, he's made all these things available for us. What an awesome, wonderful Heavenly Father. What a terrific God. Look at Psalm 147, please. Psalm 147. Oh, this stuff is so terrific. God is so loving and kind and caring. Psalm 147. Let's look at verse 4. It says, okay, he telleth the number of the stars. Okay, how many stars are there?
We don't know.
They're still finding them. Okay, he calleth them all by their names. Okay, were there billions out there? I don't know. We are in, well, what's it called?
We're
in a galaxy. And when you look out and you see, this looks like a cloud in the sky. That is a cloud of stars, made up of stars. We're in a galaxy. There are other galaxies all over the place in the universe. What a terrific thing. How little we are. We're very little. You know, and yet how awesome God is to care about little old you and little old me. You know, to send a redeemer for us. You know, to do the things that he does for us. Verse 5, 47. Okay, 47, I was going to read verse 4. I read that. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is very, very limited. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. My uncle used to teach at Virginia Tech, and he taught economics. And he would do this once a year with every one of his classes. He would talk about infinity, and he would talk about other things. And one of his students said to him, "Can you describe infinity for me?" And he said, "Well," and he picked up a piece of chalk. And he went to the chalkboard, and he started at the one end, and he took it all the way along the chalkboard, and then he took it all the way along the hall, and he took it out the door, and down to the hall, you know, out and around and around, and all the students just sat there, and then and he never came back. And so they said, "Well, I guess class is over," and they left. The next time the class met, it was time for class to start, and he wasn't there. And that was unusual for him because he was very punctual. And they looked at the door, and all of a sudden, here he came in with that chalk. Would around the back wall, down the other side wall, came up and joined it to, you know, this where he started, and he said, "And that's not even infinity." So anyway, okay, well, that's my story for today. Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. Uncle Jim Wright, that was who it was. Uncle Jim, good old Uncle Jim. He got his degree from UVA, and then he went and taught at Virginia Tech. Go figure. Okay, there's a big rivalry between Virginia and Virginia Tech. If you don't know, those of you that have dialed in, or what do we call it? LinkedIn. Is that what we call it? LinkedIn. If they did a link on their computer. Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare," the heavens are telling, "the glory of God." They're telling. How are they telling the glory of God? "And the firmament showeth his handiwork." You know, the work of his hands. You know, God put all the stars out there. He put them in their courses and everything else. "The heavens declare," they are telling, "the glory of God, and the firmament," the expanse again, "showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech." Day unto day they are telling this. They're declaring this glory of God. "And night unto night showeth knowledge," showeth intelligence, information. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." There's no speech, no language, no words where their voice is not heard. We're talking about the stars and their courses. God's word was written in the stars long before Moses sat down and wrote it down in a book. God is spirit. Okay, God is spirit. You cannot see spirit. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. You know, God is spirit. God is in a completely different realm than what we are in until we get born again. But so for God to communicate with man, God being spirit, to communicate to man who are body and soul, he had to come into concretion. With Moses, it was like the burning bush. And when God got Moses' attention, he spoke to God. It says that God spoke face to face with Moses, and Moses wrote down what God told him to write. The other people that wrote the Word of God, they wrote what God told them to write. And then when it's written, we have it in concretion, we can read it. You know, we can read what is written, and because of that, then we can start to know God and know the infinite and know how wonderful God is. So God made his word available, but he also wrote it in the stars. The declaration of the coming Redeemer, you know, the constellations are terrific. They have different meanings. And I should say that there's a very big difference between astronomy and astrology. Astrology is a so-called science which isn't scientific, where people make claims about the future or whatever else based on what they see in the stars, and it is a counterfeit. Astronomy is looking at the stars. It's scientific. It's looking at the movement of the stars and all those kinds of things. So that the heavens declare the glory of God day after day, night after night. Verse 4, their line is going out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. The 12 signs of the zodiac are in the orbit that the sun makes around the earth. And so these 12 signs of the zodiac are set in that tabernacle for the sun. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man. You know, the sun rises, you know, and it's like a strong man, you know, the sun does. But these constellations, they have meaning. All the stars mean something. God has named them all. And the names of those stars is what tells you what the constellations are and what they mean. The names of the stars tell you that. And then the names of those stars communicate that there is a coming Redeemer. And there's going to be, you know, all the other stuff that is basically in the Word, but then there was one thing missing. The mystery. The mystery. Everything is in the stars except for the mystery. And the mystery was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Had the adversary known the mystery, remember, he never would have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You bet it is. Okay, Genesis chapter 49. Let's look at that. Wait, I got to read verse 6. His going forth is from the ends of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So it's the circuit of the sun, and everything is exposed to the heat from the sun. You know, that's the heat of the sun. Gosh, there's so much in here. Sometimes I don't know where to start and stop. Go to Genesis 49, please. Genesis 49. I was talking a little bit about the constellations. Genesis 49. There is a constellation associated with David and the tribe of Judah. And Genesis 49 speaks of that. You know, the stars don't say a word, but they still declare. They are, even though they don't, you know, you don't go out at night and Jupiter says, "Hi, I'm Jupiter." You know, no, the stars don't say anything, but the stars declare. They are telling. They tell the word of God, everything but the mystery. In Genesis 49, verse 9, it says, "Judah is a lion's whelp, a young lion, Leo. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall arouse him up?" Man, I don't think you want to wake up an old lion. Or a young one either, for that matter. I don't know. Okay. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." Okay, Leo, the constellation Leo, is associated with the tribe of Judah. And the scepter represents rulership. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet." The word feet, regulus, is associated with the word feet, regal. You know, regal is royal, is kingly, right? Well, Regulus is the brightest star in the constellation of Leo, and it's at Leo's feet. So, "A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Sounds a little bit like the gathering together. But, you know, this constellation and Regulus in the constellation of Leo, that is the king planet. No, the king star. Okay, Jupiter is associated with kings and kingdoms and so forth, and has been since, you know, all recorded time, you know. And so what happened when the Magi followed what they called his star? Look at Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. I got some other scriptures here, but as usual, I talk too much in between my scriptures and start running out of time. I am so in awe of God and His Word, and that God would make us His children, that God would put within us the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What an awesome privilege. What a wonderful thing that we have in our lives. Matthew chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, magi, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star," and that would be Jupiter, "in the east, and are come to worship him." How would they know that? Well, if you look in Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, you will see that Daniel was set over the Magi. And other folks. And he must have taught them about the coming Savior. It was all written in the stars. Daniel was an awesome, amazing man who walked with God and loved God. And man, oh man, it's... and he had these great friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they stood for the one true God, didn't they? Man, oh man, did they ever. So look at verse 9, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, which means Bethlehem. And stood over means it came at a perpendicular to the earth. When it comes to that perpendicular to the earth, it appears to stop for a while, you know, and then move. And so it stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And it says they went into the house. I'll read the next verse. And when they were come into the stable, where Mary and Joseph and the where they're in the main. No, it doesn't say in the manger. Away in the manger had happened about a year and a half earlier. This is a year and a half later. They didn't stay there in the stable. I mean, their life wasn't that unstable that they stayed in the stable all that year and a half. And the shepherds couldn't afford to stay there for a year and a half. They had to get back out with the sheep. Right, the shepherds weren't there. They were at the manger and the stable, and that was a year and a half before. This is a year and a half later, and it doesn't say they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And you know, the thing about the swaddling clothes, it was something that was done with a child who was born, he was a prince who would serve as king. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And it was a very short time. I mean, in our culture, they would have then taken pictures, you know. But, you know, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and they said, there he is. He's going to reign as king. He's going to be straight and upright before his people. That's what the swaddling clothes represented. Before that, he was bathed in salt water that he would be truthful. He would say what he meant. He would mean what he said. You know, that his words were salted, and he would be true to his word and to God's word too, actually. But that didn't happen here. That happened a year and a half earlier. Let's look at this. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, Jupiter, which they saw in the east, in the rising, went before them and came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were very joyful about it. Now, I told you we're going to start in Genesis and end up in Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 12. You know, it's when you read this book, it's really hard to determine, oh my gosh, what level of detail do you want to share? For one thing, how much time do you have? You know, this, so please, if you don't have a copy of this, try to round one up. Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed, written by Dr. Werwell, American Christian Press. And it gets into the details of, I think there's six different times that Jupiter, the king planet, is in conjunction with Regulus, the king star, you know, and then also you've got Venus, which is the bright and morning star associated in there, and Mars, which is the star for war. You know, so just all these different things that are just so awesome and wonderful. But here in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, is something that is is just terrific. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder, not a wonder, a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and panted to be delivered. That sounds pretty normal for a delivery. You know, I was there with Nancy when our four came, and of course we didn't do that with Ruby. We adopted her. That was easier.
At least for Nancy,
anyway. You know, but it's talking about a woman giving birth, and it's in the stars. So what woman in Virgo, what woman in the constellation? Well, Virgo, a virgin shall be with child. Oh my, how about that? You know, last night at our family night or whatever it was we had, we had a supper and we had music and we had sharings. It was shared about this stuff. But anyway, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Wow! The adversary was after Jesus Christ from the very first time he drew breath. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? No wonder he had to stay his mind on God's word and do the word, and nothing but the word. When he spoke the word. He spoke what God wanted him to speak. That's what it says. He did what God wanted him to do. What an awesome example and what a great Savior. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And where is Jesus Christ now? Seated at the right hand of God. So this actually happened, where the Son, let's see, it says, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. That actually happened, where the sun was in her body, you know, the body of that constellation, and the moon under the feet of that constellation. That actually happened. And it happened in the time frame that has been figured out would be the time frame of when Jesus Christ would be born, based on lots of details and in this book. And this was when Jesus Christ was born. I think it was like a period of 13 minutes or something like that. Very short period of time that was true. 70 to 90 minutes? Okay, I forget how long. 6:18 to 7:39. You got it in your book. I should probably look at mine. I got it there too. I do. I got it there.
Until the moon set.
Yeah, it was between sunset and moonset that took place. And it was visible in that part of the world. You know, whether it looked like that in other places, I don't know. I don't know that much about it. But how wonderful it is. And that took place September 11, 3 BC. So that's not December 25th. And the way that December 25th came to be known as Christmas and celebrating the birth of Christ is it was a pagan holiday where they celebrated the sun god and the birth of the sun because it's the end of the short days and when it started to get to be winter solstice, and at that point they celebrate that, and lo and behold, some of our Christian forefathers decided, by golly, I bet we can get more pagans to believe if we will say that Jesus Christ was born when they say the sun god was born or whatever. And so they did that, and by golly, it worked. And led us down a path of misinformation and disinformation. You know, the truth is Jesus Christ was born September 11, 3 BC. The time that the pregnancy of Mary was announced by the angel was about this time of year. You know, was in December, if you count back 9 months. You know, and so the announcement, but not the birth. And how wonderful it is and how awesome God is that he made it possible for us to be able to go to his word and find out the truth. Those of us that have the concern and desire to do the truth, to know the truth, to do God's word, to know God's word. And I am blessed to be among you. And I'm so thankful for what God accomplished in Christ, and we got it in the Word so we know what actually happened and when it happened. So, Father, again, we are in such awe of your magnificence, your grace, your mercy, for what you accomplished for us and in us by way of your wonderful Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you again for the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high, that allows us to be able to walk and talk with you and be a part of the royal household of God. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.